Carly's influence on the treatment team extended into the stable as well. Maris Magerston had been Cecilia's hippotherapist from the beginning, when she had been slung over the horse's back like a stuffed doll. She knew that wasn't a fair description, but that's what it had felt like to her. Although Maris had patiently explained why she was sprawled on a broad pad facing backwards, she still hated it. In her mind, she had composed one furious argument after another, shutting out Maris's description of this and that muscle group doing important things. She didn't want to be this way, an inert load on the horse's back. She felt ridiculous, ugly, flabby, useless, old. She wanted to ride, and that meant sitting up and facing forward. She arrived one day for her session to find an argument going on between Carly and Maris. Brunn, pushing her hover chair, guided it into the tack room out of sight and let her listen.
We start all our clients that way. I've read those articles, thank you. We're not quite as ignorant out here as you seem to think. But it's dangerous to rush clients, and she's over 80.
Are you upset that I've been called in to supervise?
Oh, no. We're not bitter. We're just local therapists on a backwoods planet, also grateful for a chance to learn from the great Dr. Callum Wolf.
You sound pretty upset to me. Look, I probably would be, too. You've been doing a good job for a lot of people all your career here. You do what you've been taught, and people get better. And I come along telling you to change. Is that about it?
Well, actually, I have your training cubes up through 3 years ago. I'd have had your presentations if you'd ever come here before. The thing is, Lady Cecilia's really special on this planet to a lot of people. And we were all trained as strict structuralists, Spinvereans. When you know the electrochemical scan of a nerve, you know what it can do, period. If I let her get hurt, especially doing something new...
Ah, tough choice. I see your problem. Well, I could be bossy and overrule you. That'd give you an out, but I'd rather not. I do wish you'd let us try.
Oh, why not? At worst, she'll just fall off.
Brunn pushed her back out as if they'd just arrived. Cecilia hoped her expression hadn't betrayed a joy she wasn't supposed to feel yet. This time, they lifted her up into a proper saddle, facing forward. It felt entirely wrong. Her legs were wrong, her back was wrong, her seat was wrong. She couldn't see. She felt a warm hand on either leg, Brunn on the right, and the stable girl Drew on the left. They had been to every session, and Brunn had told her enough about Drew that she felt she knew the groom well.
We're gonna move now, circling to the right.
No.
She didn't move her shoulder. Pride left her that much dignity. The horse moved under her, and she sagged sideways. Brunn's firm hands propped her up. She could feel her legs flopping uselessly against the saddle. Only the hands of her helpers kept her on the horse. But she was sitting up, facing forward. Gradually, the saddle beneath her took on a familiar rhythm. She could feel the horse's stride as its barrel bunched and lengthened, swung slightly from side to side. Maris began to talk, again explaining what the horse was doing to enforce movements Cecilia's body must learn to make. Cecilia decided not to listen. Her back began to feel the horse the way it used to. She had no attention left for someone's words.
Good. You're doing better.
It didn't feel like balancing better. Her spine felt as solid as her luncheon custard. But somewhere between lurches from side to side, she felt for a moment that it was right again. Somewhere in each stride, she was riding.
Think of halting.
Cecilia tried to let herself sink into the saddle the way she would have, and felt herself slump forward as the horse halted. The helper's hands caught her.
Good for you. You halted her yourself. Now, think forward.
Cecilia waited for a moment, recovering what balance she could from the halt, and tried to remember how. She felt her spine lengthen, the pressure in her seat bones, a rising tension between her and the horse.
That's it! The beat! I can...
Whoa! Whoa! Oh.
Are you hurt?
Cecilia quickly signaled no. She wasn't hurt at all. She was exultant. She had stopped a horse. She had compelled it forward. Without the use of her arms or legs, blind, unable to speak, she had nonetheless controlled a horse again.
That'll be enough for today.
No!
We'll have to check for damage. I was afraid of this.
She said no. She's not upset by a soft fall like that.
But she's over 80, and she shouldn't have been able to get this horse to trot. I'll have to switch to another.
Carly knelt, grasping Cecilia's hands.
Cecilia, you did it! You stopped her! You got her into a trot! Are you happy about it?
Yes!
Of course she was happy about it. She tried to remember their other signals. Right now, she was too excited to think.
More!
That's what she wanted to say. Was she supposed to jerk her right knee or her left? And then the shoulder jerk for yes.
More? Yes? You want to ride more?
Yes!
Why hadn't she established a signal for damn it, you idiot? Why hadn't she established a signal for reins? She flexed her fingers in Carly's, then pulled slightly.
She wants to hold the reins, don't you, Lady Cecilia? Maris, I think she needs to try again.
All right.
It was going to work. She knew it. This time, Cecilia ignored the need for helpers, ignored the internal voice that told her how ridiculous she must look. The saddle felt familiar this time. The nubbly surface of the reins against her fingers felt better than fine silver or silk. By the end of that session, she had halted the horse 3 more times and started her into a walk, all with no surprises. She felt as if she had regained herself. Steadily, both her riding and her other therapies made progress. She could grip the special table tools, she did not consider them flatware, and get most solid foods into her mouth. With someone to remind her where they were on the tray, she could choose for herself whether to follow a bite of ham with a bite of toast or eat all the fruit first. She could sit in a regular chair if it had a straight back, and with leg braces on, she could stand supported, leaning against a chest support, to use a keyboard or scrawl with a crayon. She could push the buttons to control her hover chair. She could, at last, use a keyboard. Bit by bit, her voice came back, though most words defeated her. She began to spell things out, as she did on the keyboard. Now, for the first time since the dark months in the nursing home, she began worrying at the problem of what had really happened. Who had done this? Why? She was dozing one afternoon, after the best ride she had had yet. Maris had taken her out into one of the big fields on a lead line, and they had ridden together in the open. The horse had a lovely, long, flat walk. She had enjoyed the longer stretches of straight movement, the sound of wind in the trees at the edge of the field, and the feel of it on her face. A pleasant lunch, a relaxing nap. In one white light burst, memory returned. She was at Berenice's, dressed for that damned reception. She could feel the ivory silk smooth on her shoulders, the weight of her favorite necklace on her chest. Berenice had worn pale green, and the other ladies were much the same.
A gaggle of old women in appropriate pastels.
It didn't matter if some of them had had rejuvenation. They were still old. She remembered them as children. They remembered her the same way. She hated this kind of thing. Gabble, gabble, nibble and sip, sit listening to a mediocre musical trio and then make a donation to whatever cause. Simpler just to make the donation and go do what you wanted. But she was trying to get Berenice to come around on the subject of Harris Serrano, so she had agreed to be good at the reception. At her elbow, that insipid twit Lorenza. Amazing that a man like Piercy could have a sister like Lorenza. Lorenza, of course, had gone for rejuvenation early and often, but she had always cared more for her complexion than anything else.
I am being nice.
Cecilia smiled at Lorenza. Smooth gold hair, fair skin, looking 30, but those eyes held all of 80 years of malice. It was unnerving, those wicked old eyes in that young face. Exactly why Cecilia hated the thought of rejuve for herself.
Dear Cecilia, I haven't seen you for years.
Well, I run off a lot.
Cecilia felt big and coarse next to Lorenza. She always had. As a child, Lorenza had been picture-perfect, the quiet, well-behaved, clean and tidy girl to whom Cecilia had been compared when in disgrace. Why can't you be more like dear Lorenza? Had come from both her mother and Berenice, every time she'd broken something or come home dirty and disheveled.
I just got back.
Her neck felt hot. She always felt she should say more to Lorenza, but she could never think what.
I understand you took care of dear Ronnie for Berenice.
Yes. He's changed a lot. Fine young man. Too late, she realized that admitted he hadn't been. If Berenice heard, she'd be furious. Cecilia wished she were any place else, outside by preference, and hoped she wouldn't trip over her own feet. Damn it. She was over 80, rich and famous in her own right. She didn't need to feel like this about Lorenza.
I am being good.
You look hot, dear. Here, have a glass of juice.
She produced a glass, snatched, no doubt, from some passing waiter, and offered it. Cecilia didn't want juice. She wanted out. But she had promised to be good. She tried not to grimace as she sipped the tangy sweet juice. Interesting flavor, spiced with cinnamon and something else, she decided. She turned to thank Lorenza and found to her surprise that the other woman had disappeared.